Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Thank you for bidding on me in the auction.
I am so flattered that somebody your age would be a fan of my work.
I don't know who the hell you are. My ex really wanted to meet you, so he bid.
How much?
$22.
$2,200? That's fantastic.
$22. It started at $20, and then it went up in 50-cent increments.
I'm a comedy writer.
All right, guys, very funny stuff.
I also write for Broadway and movies. Why is your face suddenly bigger than it was before? Oh, my God, are you allergic to seafood?
Oh, my God.
She doesn't have insurance, and she really shouldn't be leaving here by herself.
Your daughter is going to be fine.
Why did you tell the doctor that I was your father?
I was a little loopy by then.
Are you doing anything right now?
No.
Want to have some laughs?
Come on, queen. Smile, girl. Smile.
Marilyn Monroe from The 7 Year Itch.
I'd be at you, too, if I had hot subway air blowing up my ass. Can't have it.
Alan Zweibel started his comedy career selling jokes for $7 a piece to the last of the Borscht Belt stand-ups. Then one night, despite bombing on stage, he caught the attention of Lorne Michaels and became one of the first writers at Saturday Night Live. From SNL, he went on to have a hand in a series of landmark shows, from its Gary Shandling show to Curb Your Enthusiasm. His best-selling book, Laugh Lines, is now out in paperback. And the new movie, Here Today, that he co-wrote and co-produced with his longtime pal, Billy Crystal, who stars in the film with Tiffany Haddish, premieres next Friday, May 7th. Yes, in theaters. You can actually go to theater and watch a movie here in Chicagoland and talk about it all. Alan returns to our program tonight. Hello again, Alan.
Oh, it's great to be back. How you doing?
I am doing great. I have to tell you, you were truly one of my favorite conversations last year. You are just a joy to talk to.
Oh, that's so nice. And I look forward to speaking with you again, too.
Absolutely.
So when it was beyond, I was really thrilled.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, before we talk again about your book, because I do want to touch upon it again, it's now on paperback. We are a week away from the release of your new movie, Here Today, based on a short story you originally wrote, right?
I had written a short story years ago that was published in a magazine that I told that story anecdotally as a guest on the David Letterman show. And in the middle of that, while the show was still on the air, that episode where I was telling the story, Billy Crystal texted me and said, that story should be the first scene between an older man and a younger woman, and let's see where the story takes us. So we did that. I live in New Jersey, lives in L.A. We just started putting our building blocks together, and, you know, here we are 3 years later, and there's a movie out that's opening next Friday.
It's awesome. That's awesome. And you wrote this, as you said, with, you know, he's a longtime friend of yours, Billy, and really only the second time out of all these years knowing each other that you worked on a project with him. I think 700 Sundays was maybe the last big one 7 years ago.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because he's my good buddy, and we started out together.
Right.
He lived about four or five towns over on Long Island from where I was living with my parents. After college, when I was starting out, we met at the clubs in New York City. This is, let's say, 74. And he picked me up every night in his little blue Volkswagen. We drive into the city. I was a comedian for about 10 minutes so before Lorne took pity on me and my acting, my stage presence. Uh-huh. And we would do our respective acts. And on the way home, we would listen to the cassettes and give each other notes. Hmm. And that's how it went every night. And then I got the SNL gig, and Billy went on to becoming Billy. And then some 20-ish years later, we're living in L.A., and I'm sharing an office. I'm sharing actually a suite of offices that was really remarkable, Dave, because Billy had an office in this suite, Larry David, who started out the same time he did at the clubs, and myself. And it was at Castle Rock, which is a movie studio. Mm-hmm. One of the owners was Rob Reiner, who had hosted the third Saturday Night Live ever.
Wow.
It was like, wow, what are the odds of this happening?
Yeah.
And Billy stuck his head in my office one day and said, I'm thinking of a one-man Broadway show called 700 Sundays with you, about my family, my dad, and all that. And would you like to collaborate with me on it? So that was after all the years of knowing him. And he's Uncle Billy to the kids. And,
yeah.
You know, come over for Seder's. And we was always seeing each other socially all the time, having offices in the same suite. That was the first time we worked with each other. And that won a Tony Award, and it was it's a period that I really cherish, because here was my pal trusting me with his family to put words into the mouths of family members that I never met, you know. And it paid off great, and we went back to our lives, still remain close friends. And then that night that he saw me on Letterman telling that story, that started this, which is our second project together.
That's amazing. And I love the fact, Alan, that he just beats your head, his head in your office. Like, hey, I got an idea. To have that and to have all of you in the same office, what a legendary time in comedy writing and stuff, just to have you guys kind of hanging around in the same space.
Well, you know what it was, Dave? It was amazing. I mean, the coincidence of it. Like I said, it was Rob Reiner's company. Billy was good friends with him. He hosted SNL. And Larry David was just finishing Seinfeld, which was a Castle Rock production,
right?
So when he was done with the show, he had an office there. And we would look at each other at times, you know, what are the odds of this happening? You know, so...
Yeah.
If you look at it, you look and you see people's credits and this and that. But to us, it was just these three goofballs going, look what happened, you know?
I love that. I love that. And I really love the movie, too, because, you know, not only, first of all, the way it's shot. And just seeing Billy on camera, you know, it just such to me says a Billy Crystal movie just right off the bat. But it makes it enjoyable and truly funny because of those generational differences that you were talking about earlier between Billy and Tiffany Haddish.
Well, you know, when he saw what happened on Letterman was the story that I told, the original short story. I was the prize for a silent auction. Whoever did the highest won lunch with me, So I drove into the city, and I live in New Jersey. I drove into the city. I paid a toll. I paid for parking. I go and I meet the woman, a younger woman, to have lunch with me. And she's much younger than me. And I say to her, listen, I don't want to be indelicate, but how much did you pay to have this lunch to win the lottery? You know, because I have friends like Tom Hanks, and they pay $100,000 just to watch him brush his teeth. So she says, 22. I went, it's not Tom Hanks money, but $2,200. She says, no. $22. I said, what? Is it $22 to have lunch? That won it? She says, it started at $20 and went up in 50 cent increments. So... I hate her, right? And we ordered food, and she orders a seafood salad the size of my high school, okay?
The
biggest plant I ever saw, jumbo shrimp, the word jumbo, you know, just multiplied it by five. And she's chomping away on a lobster thing and all this stuff. And we're talking, and then I notice her ear is turning a little red. And this eye is starting to droop just a little. And now this lip is on this side is going up and on the other side is going down. And she's having an allergic reaction to the seafood. And I'm sitting there and I'm wondering,
oh boy,
just what my obligation is as the prize to this woman. When does my obligation end? And my heart went out to her. I called an ambulance. I accompanied her to the hospital. She didn't have insurance. I bought her EpiPen. So what cost her $22 cost me about $1,100, okay? And that's the story I called on Letterman. Great. And so what happened was when we decided to write this script, we didn't want it just to be an old guy, younger woman. We've seen those kinds of comedies before, and those jokes wear thin pretty quick. we wanted a little bit more substance to it. What, okay, who is the guy? And, you know, Dave, it's one of those things where both of us could not have written this movie had we tried to do it 5 years earlier, because our life experience wasn't as such. But at that time, my dad was starting to show the onset of dementia. And Billy had an aunt who was the same condition. And we said, okay, what if Billy's character, the older comedy writer, is starting to display symptoms of the onset of dementia? He's writing a book, which is an ode, a love story to his departed wife, and he's having trouble, and he wants to finish the book before he runs out of his words altogether.
Yeah, right.
He meets Tiffany Haddish, a fun friendship ensues, and when she realizes what his condition is, she becomes his muse. And so it's very poignant, this movie.
It is.
The comedy is great, and there's, you know, we showed it in front of it before the pandemic hit. We showed it to an audience in Pasadena, a test screening, and 300 people were laughing and crying at the same time.
Which is
why, like you said, it's going to be in the theater. We held out. The producers held out.
Yeah.
Because they said this should be seen by a community of people at the same time.
We're talking to legendary writer and producer Alan Zweibel, and there's more with him next on 720 WGN. Dave Plyer on 720 WGN. We're talking to legendary writer-producer Alan Zweibel. His new movie, Here Today, starring Billy Crystal and Tiffany Haddish, premieres next Friday, May 7th. And his book, Laugh Lines, is now out on paperback. We talked about this book last year. It is a laugh-out-loud funny book. It is your life story. And I always found this fascinating because it's still one of my favorite shows of all time. But you used to watch The Dick Van Dyke Show back in the day and see Rob Petrie sit on a couch all day writing jokes, married to someone pretty in a house in New Rochelle. And you thought to yourself, yeah, I could do that.
I looked at my parents. I said, I want to be that guy.
Right.
He had everything I wanted in my life.
Yeah, yeah.
And like you said, Dave, you know, he had a beautiful wife, you know, married Tyler Moore. He had a kid. He had a nice house in New Rochelle. And he spent his day as office lying on a couch, joking around with Buddy and Sally. I want that job.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, I mean, really, it all started writing jokes, $7 a piece, mailing them to The Tonight Show, Dick Cavett, and your efforts were rewarded with a stack of rejection letters.
Well, I still have those rejection letters. They're in a file. We move, you know, so you go through all your files, what you're going to keep, what you're going to take. We came across the rejection letters. It's in a folder that must be at least an inch thick. That's a lot of paper.
Yeah, that's a lot of paper.
And you named the show, whether it was Carol Burnett. You know, there were 1,000 variety shows in the early 70s. You know, Rich Little had a show. The Jetsons had a show. This one, you know, and they all rejected me. Cavett, Mad Magazine alone takes up a big part of that folder.
That's great. Well, you started also hanging out at the Improv. And, you know, Catch a Rising Star. That's where you met Billy. But then you also made those lifelong friends, as you mentioned, Larry David, Richard Lewis. So you were kind of in good company on this journey, though.
Well, I was in the era of the guys you just mentioned. So when I became friendly with them, that was the fun. That was the fun to see Richard Belzo or Richard Lewis and Larry David and, like you said, Billy. We all started at the same time. You know, these come in waves. Who's part of which wave? You know, Seinfeld came a little later. Mm-hmm. You know, he and his contemporaries, as far as the clubs were concerned. A little bit before me was Robert Klein and David Steinberg and Lily Tomlin, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the wave that I was part of were the people we just mentioned. And the beauty is that we all started out as friends. It didn't matter. You know, yeah, everybody ended up very successful, but it didn't matter what your resume said.
Right.
We are still friends,
right.
And that's at the root of it, you know?
Yeah.
And I've been the lucky part of my career with all the people that I have been able to write with, you know, including Gilda and Gary Shandling and some of the people we've already mentioned, and more recently Dave Barry, let's say, we're friends. Our wives are friends. So it's social, you know?
Yeah.
And it's, you know, Lorne Michaels always used to say, You know, you want to work with somebody that you want to go to dinner with afterwards. Mm-hmm. And by and large, that's what's happening. I'm here right now. I'm speaking to you from California, and I'm working on a script with Barry Levinson. Mm-hmm. And we're staying at, wife and I are staying at his house.
That's great.
We're friends,
yeah.
You know, and that's the greatest part.
Well, you get to celebrate the wins on this journey. You get to also talk about some disappointments. You were with your pal Richard Lewis when you found out you got SNL, you know, along the way. By the way, I read that Richard is doing one episode of Curb this season. There was, you know, he's gone through some surgeries, but he was in a good enough place to come and do an episode. So that's kind of fun, huh?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing him again. You can imagine, you know, he had three surgeries, which it did.
Right.
For him to sit out a whole season of Curb, you can only infer from that, boy, he was not very good shape.
Yeah, yeah.
So for him to come back and do an episode, I was heartened to hear that because, maybe he's on the upswing health-wise, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Good for him. Good for him. And, you know, speaking of Curb, you know, your longtime friendship with Larry, you did get involved in Curb as a consulting producer for a little while.
I did. You know, look, we shared those offices, like I said.
Right.
Larry would come in, lie on my couch, and start talking about what episodes he was thinking. I would throw in a joke or say, well, what if you did this or that? And the next season, he was feeling guilty. So he said, all right, I'm going to give you a title. I'm going to give you money. And because I can't take this guilt anymore.
That's awesome.
So he'd come into the office. And he basically paid me and gave me a title for him to lie on my couch and just talk.
That's awesome. That's nothing better than that. I love that. I love that. Your journey in comedy, I mean, continues. But I will say that I love this book, really one of my favorite books, and I love how you talk about your influences. You gave many of them kudos in the book. Would you say you had more writers than comedians that you kind of put on a pedestal, or which one would you say was, you know?
Well, that's a wonderful question. I think that the comedians that I put on a pedestal wrote for themselves, okay? So they were writers, as far as I was concerned. And, you know, I look at the generation that came before me, you know, to become friends with my idol, Carl Reiner, who created the Dick Van Dyke Show, which we just spoke about.
Yeah.
Buck Henry, who wrote The Graduate. You know, that older generation, I've now become very good friends with Norman Lear, who's 98.
Yeah, which is crazy.
You know, and I Mel Brooks. So they were all writers. Yeah, some of them performed and were stars in their own rights. But they created for themselves. And that's the part. You look, I'll look at a performer and I'll go, my God, how gifted is that person?
Mm-hmm.
But for me, as a writer, I looked at what some of these people were doing, even if it was just on stage or even if it was just something they created. I go, I know what the mechanics are.
Mm-hmm.
How did they decide to put those words in that order? And it always fascinated me. You sit there. As a writer, every morning with your vocabulary, you lay all the words out there and you pick them out. Which ones are you going to pick and what order are you going to pick them in?
And you never stop learning, do you, Alan?
No. I mean, like I said, I'm sitting here with Barry Levinson and look at the movies he's directed, Rain Man and you know, The Natural and Diner, and it goes on and on and on. And I'm still constantly learning. I learned a lot from writing that movie with Billy. When you write a movie, or you write anything with somebody who's also a director,
mm-hmm.
They want you to write it with the vision of the movie in mind, which is something we ordinarily don't do as writers. You know, we write dialogue, we move the plot along. Yeah, we'll have a stage direction. You know, he turns around quickly and sees her. You know, that happens anyway. But when you're writing with somebody who says, okay, you know, the camera whips around to discover. Mm-hmm. Okay, now you see, okay, so now what do you discover?
Yeah.
It might be a move that you wouldn't have thought of in the writing before you got the camera movement, you know? So it's a wonder. With here today, Billy would say, I want him to walk from here to there along the docks, but something should happen to break it. So you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So they present you at times with the visual. And then you write to support it.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's an interesting way of processing that. And the new movie that Alan's talking about is Here Today, starring Billy Crystal, Tiffany Haddish, in a theater near you. Yep, a theater, premiering on Friday, May 7th. And the book Laugh Lines, My Life Helping Funny People Be Funnier, is now on paperback. Alan, you are truly a joy to chat with. I'm so thrilled that you always make time for me, and I hope we can do it again soon.
Invite me. I'll be there. You're one of my favorite people to talk to, Dave. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you, Alan. Alan Zweibel. All right, top stories from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom are next on 720 WGN.